Hello, and welcome back to Girls Like You, the premier Barbie movie review podcast. This week's episode, we explore 2002's Barbie as Rapunzel.
Yeah, this one's a hit. This is great. Eat your heart out, Tangled. This is the superior animated Barbie film, and I'll die by that.
I have to say, it's a lot darker of a story. I mean, I guess the Nutcracker story is inherently dark, but there's a lot fewer moments of levity in this movie, and a lot darker of implications of what could have happened to poor Barbie as Rapunzel.
Yeah, it's a disturbing, this one's very sad.
Yeah, she just like takes it. She's just like, yeah, I'm gonna live as a servant. Big deal, I have a friend dragon and a rabbit and life is good. You know, life is what you make it. So let's make it rock.
Yeah, that's what Barbie, Rapunzel, and Hannah Montana have a lot in common. Yeah, it's interesting that this is even a quote-unquote Rapunzel movie because, as you'll find out as we go through the plot summary, it has very little in common with the actual Rapunzel story. And little things will pop up, like a hairbrush or like a dream that Rapunzel has where she has really long hair and like dangles it out the window of her tower. But in the actual like story of the plot, none of that, no Rapunzel elements actually come into play.
Yeah, now that you say that, that's true. Nothing comes of the hair. Or anything. Wow.
Yeah, it's just long.
It's just long. But every Barbie has long hair. I don't. This
doesn't make sense. But this hair is extra long.
Yeah. And on the Barbie as Rapunzel doll that they released, if you pulled on her hair, it would grow even longer. None of us had that doll, so we don't actually know what that means, but that's what it says on the box.
I don't want to know what that meant. It feels wrong. It feels like that Skipper doll they made like in the 90s that if you twisted its arms, the boobs grew. That's what that feels like to me. And I don't want to get involved.
Why are there so many creepy Barbie dolls? My mom just told me about one she had when she was little. And it was, when we found it, it was actually called like Golden Dreams Barbie or something. But she wore this like kind of gold, like lamé outfit with like a crop top and these like lounge pants, but the conceit of this Barbie doll was that there was little strands of copper wire entwined in her hair. If you like wrapped it around the like curling iron tool that they gave you with the Barbie, it would like curl Barbie's hair.
That feels like a fire like waiting to happen.
Yeah, I thought that you were going to say that too.
Barbie's head caught on fire and it traumatized my mother until her adult life.
Hooked her up to a circuit and her hair glows.
Barbie rose off the table when you hooked up to the circuit and says, I am your god now.
That sounds on brand.
Nope. It's very, very Barbie-esque, I have to say, based on our analysis of the previous Barbie films.
Everyone's favorite forever, okay.
Okay, so let's start off with our plot summary.
Woo, exciting. Yes, I'll do this one.
Take it away, Gelsie.
Also, I wrote this one, so let's bet. All right, so we're still in the phase of Barbie movies where they start out with like a framing incident between Barbie and Kelly, who is called Shelly. I don't know if that's consistent, but at least once she is called Shelly, which just shows that Barbie's a bad sister because she doesn't know her sister's name. So that begins. And I don't know, Kelly can't paint and that's whatever. And she's complaining. So Barbie's like, let me tell you a totally useful story, Kelly. This will totally relate to your struggles. Spoiler alert, it doesn't. So Barbie tells her the story of Rapunzel, in air quotes. You can't see them, but I'm doing them. So Rapunzel lives in this freaky mansion that is hidden with magic. And there is a tunnel, a magic tunnel that Gothel seems to use to get to it. So we see more tunnel imagery. That's important. And she lives with this oldish, not oldish. She's like, you know, she's middle-aged. I'm not going to age shame Gothel woman. Who keeps her there. And she also has a rabbit whose name I don't remember and a dragon named Penelope. And Penelope's dad is like, I don't know, a servant or whatever for the tower, which seems kind of weird because he knows that Gothel is abusing this child but doesn't care at all. So Hugo, Penelope's dad, is a total, like, doesn't win for me. Just putting that out there. So one day, they're goofing around in the kitchen. A spoon knocks open something and leads to a basement. And in this basement, Rapunzel finds a gift from her parents who she thought are dead and also maybe didn't think she had. She just thought she appeared one day. And it's a hairbrush because that's a totally normal thing to leave your daughter. And they also find a creepy tunnel. And Rapunzel, like anybody would do in this situation, goes through the tunnel. And on the other side of the tunnel, she finds a whole village. It's a whole kingdom. What? When she goes into this kingdom, she sees people for the first time in a thriving economy. It seems wonderful. And she sees all these lovely children just playing about. But one child almost falls into a hole, which we'll get to later. And now, let me tell you, Rapunzel goes to save this child. And I thought when I watched this movie, like, this was going to be the Rapunzel thing, and she was going to throw her hair in and help the kid out. But no, no, no. She just uses her hand. So that was a lost opportunity. But then Stefan, our handsome prince, who happens to be single, appears and helps save this child. Now, Stefan makes sure to tell Rapunzel. And by the way, they do not trade names, as you do, because you don't want to know a stranger's name. I don't want to know anyone's name. And he tells her that he assumes this hole was made by a rival king, Wilhelm, and that he is feuding with Stefan's daddy, Frederick, and they're not having a good time right now. But for whatever reason, digging holes in each other's backyards that children can fall into, that's what war is, baby. So basically, Rapunzel realizes it's been a long time. She needs to head back home. She gets out of there real quick, doesn't ask Stefan his name. That's very important, and goes back to her creepy mansion. But Gothel noticed some stuff because, I don't know, she wasn't there. And Otto, who is this creepy ferret that hangs out on Gothel and probably is her only friend, stalks Rapunzel into this kingdom. And he also has a very strange, like, I don't know, Eastern European accent. And it looks like he should be dead, and he may be dead, and this is some necromancy going on. And he's like, Gothel, Rapunzel's been out of the mansion. And so Gothel gets really, really mad about that and destroys everything and makes a huge tower. And is like, do you know who? What's the name of the boy you met? And Rapunzel's like, I don't know. And that's actually true, because Rapunzel doesn't know how to interact with people. So she didn't think, maybe I should ask someone their name. Who knows? Rapunzel might not think anybody else has names. She's never met another person. Luckily for Rapunzel, that night, a shooting star goes across the night sky, and the hairbrush turns into a paintbrush. Why didn't it just start out as a paintbrush? I don't know. It's not for me to say. Now, Penelope and the rabbit, who has a name, but I didn't care to learn it, goes to make paint for Rapunzel, as Gothel has destroyed all her paint. And they make paint of primarily red berries. This is dark red paint that they use, but somehow it works, and it creates a magic portal that has many colors, even though it was just red. And Rapunzel gets through that portal, and she meets Stefan again, but she doesn't know his name is Stefan. Very, very important. And Stefan, you know, as you do, ask a completely random girl, hey, you want to go to this special masquerade ball? And she's like, sure. And he's like, let me tell you your name. And she's like, under no circumstance will you be doing that. And yet that's not a red flag to Stefan at all. And he's okay with it. Another red flag for him that should have popped up is when a dragon appears to Rapunzel and says, hey, we need to get out of here, or my dad's going to get abused with lightning hands Gothel over there. And Rapunzel says, sure, I'll take the abuse instead of your father, who was complicit in me being kidnapped in a mansion. Whatever. So they go back to the tower. Luckily, Gothel's not there, so Rapunzel thinks she got away scot-free, and they have a fashion montage where there's some pretty awesome looks that are served. However, it's not all good for Rapunzel yet, because Otto, that dirty, dirty, ratty ferret, comes back and tells Gothel everything, and Gothel goes crazy. Like, this is just one, just last just straw to break the camel's back here, and cuts off Rapunzel's hair. That's very important, because she comes back later, and also destroys the paintbrush and makes a magic spell that says anybody who lies can't leave the tower. That's a very strange spell, and I feel like we'll come into problems later. So anyways, it works out for Rapunzel, because Rapunzel doesn't know Stefan's name, and Barbie doesn't lie, so neither does Rapunzel. So Rapunzel can just get out of there. So she hops on a dragon and flies away to the kingdom, which I don't know how she knows where it is, because the only way she's ever been there is through a magic paint portal or an underground tunnel. So Stefan, at the masquerade bar, sees a person with long blonde hair, and of course he assumes it's Rapunzel, because who else has blonde hair? And he runs into a hedge maze, which is not seen before this, but is pretty cool, and I wish it was more included in the plot. And in this hedge maze, it's revealed that it is not Rapunzel, but Gothel wearing a wig that she made of Rapunzel's hair very quickly. And Stefan is not a fan of that. Luckily, and just coincidentally, at the same time this is all going down, Wilhelm, the whole digging king from earlier decides this is the time to invade the kingdom. And he has a full-blown fight with Frederick. Not violent. They're just yelling at each other with huge armies behind them, which is, I guess, how war is fought. And then Gothel, plot twist, appears to everyone. And everyone's like, oh, it's that crazy lady. She's involved in all of this. Turns out, Gothel and Wilhelm have a past, which Wilhelm didn't know they had, but Gothel feels spurted, even though in Wilhelm's mind, they never dated and definitely were barely even friends. But Gothel's pretty sure he was the great love of her life that betrayed her. And it's very intense. Let's just say Gothel needs some therapy. Well, luckily Rapunzel shows up, and it turns out that Wilhelm is Rapunzel's dad. What?
What?
And that's why Gothel stole her. And it was all revenge, and this fight has been for nothing. Luckily, Rapunzel is pretty darn smart, and she does a little sneaky sneak on Gothel and pushes her back a magic paint hole and into the tower. But, oh no, Gothel made that spell on the tower so no liars can leave. And you want to know who's a dirty, dirty liar? Gothel. So she's trapped there for all time, assumed to die and starve in this tower because she cannot leave. So that's pretty dark. But who's to care about that? Because our kingdoms are now united. Stefan and Rapunzel are going to get married. And it's all pretty good now. And then we zoom back into the main story. And Barbie reminds Kelly that creativity is the true magic in art. But that doesn't make any sense and was not the message I got from this movie. But okay, Barbie, you're a great sister. That's it.
Yeah, I wrote down like the positive messages from this film, which like there always are some. But from the Rapunzel story, I wrote down selfishness, peace, and not lying, which would not help you paint better pictures.
Just don't lie. Yeah, I just don't understand how this relates to Kelly's struggle of not, like, being able to paint.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that seems like it's not the focus, though it actually has something to do with the main message, is that Penelope, Rapunzel's friend, or dragon friend, cannot fly over. There's like a half bubble around Gothel's like manor or whatever, and she is too scared to fly over it. And her dad at the beginning like berates her. He's like, you're not a mighty dragon because you are not, you know, brave enough to do this, like, you know, you disappoint me and stuff like that. But then he kind of turns around and sees how loyal she is to Rapunzel and how she helps her even in dangerous situations. And then he's like, wow, my daughter is a mighty dragon because, you know, she's shown her fierce loyalty and everything. So then he like encouraged towards the end of the movie when she's taking Rapunzel to the ball. He's like, you are a mighty dragon. You can do this. I've seen it. And then she's like, I am a mighty dragon. So then Penelope believes in herself and takes her to the ball. But those are like, you know, side characters. So I can definitely see why that was like not up on. And that's the only thing that I think relates to Kelly's problem, which is that she doesn't believe in herself that she can paint, which seems very minute next to a dragon trying to like fly over a wall and like breathe fire. So I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, and even like Rapunzel's actual artistic talent, like the only time you ever see her paint, she's painting with a magic paintbrush and she just kind of drags it across the wall one time and some twinkling happens and the whole painting is there.
Red paint. She just took red paint and drags it across the wall. That's not painting.
I know. Well, she dipped her brush in the red paint and she drags it across and it's like a blue sky, and then they're like, how did you do that? And she goes, I was just thinking of a blue sky. And I was like, with red paint,
why was that what you came to mind?
Yeah, Barbie was just sitting there thinking, wow, my friends went through all this effort to make me this red paint, but all I really want to paint is a blue sky. Man, I wish I could be painting that right now. Maybe I'll make a sunset. It's a rough life for Barbie. One thing that we talked about in the last podcast was how kind of awesome the resources put into the Barbie movie was. Like, the animation wasn't great, but, you know, they had the London Symphony Orchestra, the New York Ballet, Tim Curry, and similarly, Tim Curry. We have some famous names. The London Symphony Orchestra comes back again to play the music for this movie, but there's no like existing like Rapunzel ballet, so it's just some like music that they made up for the movie, which it's a lot of like twinkly sounds and flutes, and then like a woman doing like mermaid singing, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well that's actually Rapunzel's song from Into the Woods, don't judge me. But okay, and there's also some famous people in the cast. So Angelica Houston, a, you know, very famous actress, comes and plays Gothel, which I think at least for the first four official quote-unquote Barbie movies, the villains are all played by like pretty famous actors. I wish this was a trend that continued to this day. Like imagine Paul Rudd playing the villain in the newest Barbie movie.
Now I want Paul Rudd to play the villain in the newer Barbie movie. That sounds great.
Hashtag Paul Rudd for Barbie.
Yeah, let's make that happen, fans.
Or like Don Mulaney playing like a villain henchman or something. I think that would be great.
Paul Rudd and John Mulaney, 2021.
Heck, I want John Mulaney as Barbie. Make that happen. Let's just do
it. It's a live action film, but it's just John Mulaney in a dress. Okay, so in addition to Angelica Houston, Cree Summers, who is a pretty prolific voice actor, plays the dragon Penelope. But my favorite, my personal favorite cast member is Mark Hildreth. In addition to playing Prince Stefan in this Barbie movie, he also plays Prince Daniel in Swan Lake, King Dominic in Princess and the Pauper, Aiden in The Magic of Pegasus, and Prince Louis in The Three Musketeers. So he's a recurring character in the Barbie universe.
He just got a nice royal voice.
Right. Yeah. The perfect match for Kelly Sheridan.
Oh yeah, they are a dynamic duo.
Okay, so one thing that I wanted to bring back up, we kind of started tracking in the last episode the recurrence of tunnels in Barbie movies, and there are a lot of tunnels in this Barbie movie, from the tunnel in the forest that Gothel rides her horse through in the beginning to get to the castle, which we never see her leaving again. They never explain why she ever left to begin with. But then there's the tunnel that you find under the secret basement room where Barbie discovers her hairbrush that allows them to get to the kingdom. There are like the portals that Barbie creates with her paintings to get to the kingdom.
Lots of tunnels.
The hole that they've fallen. And also, I realized there are a lot of incidents in Barbie movies of people dangling off cliffs. It happened in the last movie, too. And in this movie, the small blonde child played by, you know, Kelly, who's one of Prince Stefan's siblings. What's her name?
I think her name's Katrina, because when I heard it, I thought of the vine, the hurricane torta.
Hurricane Katrina falls into the hole and then like hangs on by like the edge of it, and then Barbie goes to help her and she almost falls in too. But yeah, there's this like recurring theme of precipitous cliff dangling.
That's how you get all the boys. You need to be dangling off a cliff. Ladies, you want a man, get yourself a cliff.
It does give them an opportunity to be brave.
And it's great conversation starter. Like, hey, you were dangling off a cliff. Yeah, you're right, I was. Why don't we get coffee and discuss that situation?
Well, it works because hunky Prince Stefan comes to rescue Barbie and his, you know, small sister, who maybe more in peril in this situation. Whatever. But I love that when he makes plans with Barbie to go to the ball, he says, "I'll pick you up at 7 in my carriage." It's classic.
I love the confidence of that, because he doesn't know her name or where she lives, but he will be there.
He's like, I'll be there at 7. I'm going to pick you up. Be there, stranger.
Oh, wait. No, wait. He does know her name. She doesn't know his name.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows her name until their second meeting. So, yeah. So, it works out with the law.
What if he was just like, Rapunzel? What kind of a name is that? Ew.
Sorry, I can't date you. That's a horrible name.
Okay, can we talk about, I mean, this movie, I think, exacerbates the problem of bad animation that started with the Barbie and the Nutcracker movies, but just for me, like, the worst thing that I saw in this movie was when Barbie, like, starts falling into the hole, and Prince Stefan rescues her, he like grabs her with his hands around her waist, and his hands encircle her entire waist, which maybe doesn't sound super gross, but like try grab, like at home, viewers, listeners, grab your own waist and imagine like hands big enough or a waist small enough where your fingertips and thumb tips could touch.
It is creepy.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
Yeah, so then I guess that kind of starts the whole Barbie bad animation discussion. Yeah, people are kind of weirdly proportioned in animals too, like the ferret, Otto, and the rabbit, Hobie, which I think is short for Hobart, I don't know. They all kind of look gross and dirty, like there's just something about them that you don't want to spend a lot of time looking at.
Hobie looks like he's like 87 because he has like these bags under his eyes. It's just always like complaining and always tired. I'm like, Hobie needs to just like stay in the tower, stay at home.
Also, there's like with the proportions and stuff, there's like a horse. I think this shows up a few times, but there's this horse who is just so weirdly proportioned. We call him Short Horse, but he's not because he's short. It's like he's the right height leg wise, but his body is just compressed, so he has such, the torso to leg ratio is so off, and the eyes are kind of weirdly spaced. Like, I would not get on that horse. That horse looks like bad like incest breeding. I'm just saying that that horse's mother and father are also its uncles and aunts.
When it comes to the animals, you just think like maybe they should only have like reptiles, like dragons and lizards and stuff, because yeah, the mammals always look kind of gross. I think part of the problem is like trying to animate with hair. I just, you know, especially when your like technology's not that great, it becomes kind of uncanny valley. And when you're animating like a creature covered in hair, it doesn't end well. But speaking of hair, the hair doesn't always look great on the people either. One of the things that kind of, you know, I think it's a staple almost now of Barbie movies, but the hair is always just kind of like one long blonde lump, and it moves as one sheet. But it's kind of funny, in this movie, they use that strange hair physics to do something that would not be possible in real life. When Gothel cuts off Rapunzel's hair, it all falls in one clump to the floor instead of like a bunch of little pieces as you would expect. And then she makes a wig, you know, air quotes, out of Rapunzel's hair, but it's just hanging from the back of her head in one sheet. And when she reveals herself to Prince Stefan, she like, it sounds like she's pulling like a string or something, and the hair just falls to the ground in one sheet too. Like it was just one rubbery piece.
Right. And when she first cuts it off, she like lays it over her arm like a scarf or a blanket or something.
Also, just with Barbie's hair, like normally in this movie, like she looks at this little like half up, half down style, and her hair is like not totally Rapunzel length. It's a little shorter. It's only like down to the floor. But when you look on, like when she turns around, you see the half up down style. The little ponytail that it makes only goes to like her shoulder length. So Barbie just has these random like pieces in the front, I guess, that hang to like her like armpits. And then she like puts them back in her little half up, half down. It just doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. There's no logic to it.
She grew out her bangs.
Other characters too, like when you see King Wilhelm finally, he has a very square shaped beard. And then all the male characters have very like square hair that just cut in like a straight line along the back.
It just makes me think of these characters are modeled after like, you know, dolls where, you know, the guy's hair probably is like a rubbery plastic. Yeah, maybe what we're actually watching is like Barbie playing with Barbies to show Kelly, you know, the story.
That's very meta, and I do not like that.
So the framing story is set in the universe of Barbie and the Sensations, Barbie and the Rockers, where Barbie is so all-powerful and loved that she has her own doll line.
What a power move, though, then, to be like, okay, Kelly, let me tell you about how not to be a failure with all these dolls that are made in my image, Kelly or Shelly. I don't even care enough to know your name. I'm a literal god, and you are nothing. So let me create a world and teach you nothing, and you are forced to watch me.
Big yikes.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's get into some of these characters. I think the characters in this film are maybe a little better developed, like all the side characters, because there's so little development to Prince Stefan that it leaves room for you to learn a lot more about the other members of Barbie's entourage.
Prince Stefan has no characteristics, to the point that one of the few notes Lily can make about him was that he has a little muscle on his chest through that peeks out through his shirt.
Okay. I thought it was weird, okay, because he has this...
Prince Stefan, the slightly muscular shirt man who just doesn't bothered by the fact that there's a girl who actively doesn't want to learn his name.
Yeah. Can you imagine someone being like, hi, I'm, and they're like, no, thanks. I don't want to know what your name is.
Do not tell me your name.
Under no circumstances can you tell me what your name is. Okay, the thing with the muscly chest with Stefan is he has this really, like, open, like, shirt. Very, like, 70s pirate movie-esque. And then you just see the very top of the beginning of a set of, like, a muscly chest, a set of pectorals. You see a little cleave, okay? And I'm just wondering, okay, this character in the movie is stated to be 17, about to turn 18. Why are you giving him, like, making him muscle-bound? Very strange.
Don't sexualize Stefan, Barbie. Don't do that. He's a child.
He's the doll from the Barbie Rapunzel set that nobody wants.
Aw, did they even have a Stefan doll?
I actually don't know. When I was looking at Barbie Rapunzel dolls, I just saw, like, Barbie, and a couple of them had, like, a little plush Penelope with them. There was no Hobie doll, because no one wants that ungodly monstrosity.
Fun fact, there is a Stefan doll, and it talked.
Wait, what does it say? Is it one of his iconic lines?
Okay. Oh, this is strange. So the Barbie Rapunzel dolls existed before the movie. So, like, they both, that set came out in, like, 1997. So they added it all, like, made the movie for the dolls, basically. But I believe it says stuff like, let your hair down, and then it blows kisses.
Ew. What? Well, it's funny because Barbie, like, I mean, in the movie, like, there's, other than, I guess, Gothel, like, dropping Barbie's massive hair, that's one piece, you know, there's no really, like, hair related stuff for Stefan.
Falls for her hair in a dream sequence, and that's it.
Okay, Prince Stefan has some of the funniest lines to me in this movie. I mean, the lines in this movie are not as outright, like, laugh out loud funny as some of the one-liners in Barbie and the Nutcracker. But at one point I guess when Penelope comes to find Rapunzel, like, the second time that she meets Stefan. So Penelope has been, like, rushing to go find Rapunzel because Mother Gothel's coming back. And Stefan, when he sees this human-sized dragon, is terrified and prepares to, like, fight her. And Rapunzel stops him, but then he says, "You're friends with a dragon?" And she goes, "Name's Penelope, bucko." Are just two lines that I think don't go with each other at all and really speaks to the interesting Barbie universe, yeah, character dynamics. Another one, Prince Stefan. So he has sent some guards to go find Rapunzel, and they were attacked by a dragon, which was Penelope's dad, Hugo, in the woods, and they barely escaped with their lives. They were blasted with fire to the point where their back of their armor melted off, and you can see their boxers with, like, red polka dots on them, and they're terrified. They go to Prince Stefan. He's like, "I'm sure no one ever saw a more terrible beast, but what about the girl?"
It's like, he does not care at all that his, like, guards have been, like, traumatized and burnt beyond repair by some great creature. But he's like, "Where is the girl? I need my lady. Bring me woman."
Prince Stefan is very theatrical. He's got a lot of drama.
Not a lot of feelings, and he's just trying to get them all out.
We can't talk about funny lines without talking about the final scene. Like, it's just so many things happen.
The last, like, 10 minutes is the best part of this entire film. You gotta watch the whole film for just the climactic ending, where it just gets so, it's just so crazy. I mean, it just all is great. It's everything you've wanted coming to a head. I think it's great because so much of this film is just, like, ex machina. Like, nothing no one actively is progressing the plot. Things just happen to happen. Like, Wilhelm and Frederick just happen to have their war while also Rapunzel is and Stefan are dealing with their things. And it just lines up beautifully. If what I learned from this is that fate is a beautiful thing. That's the real lesson of this Barbie movie. I think the ending, the great part of the ending starts with the hedge maze scene, because that is iconic.
Where did the hedge maze come from? We've never seen it before.
It was just like in the courtyard.
It deserved more time. It was my favorite character.
Right. But when Stefan thinks he sees Rapunzel, he goes after her and is chasing her, though she's like in what Mother Gothel wears. So she's like in this like
Rapunzel, because she has Mother Gothel's nose and is an old woman.
But I guess she's wearing a mask, so you obviously can't tell who she is. But the long hair gives it away. So he like chases her into the hedge maze, and she like keeps looking back at him and running off. And so Stefan, thinking it's Rapunzel, is like, thinks this is a little game that they're playing, and she's just being coy with him. And he's like, oh, where are we going? He's like laughing. Oh, it's so good. And then, you know, she drops her hair into one sheet clump. And he's like, what?
He is so mystified that this could not be Barbie.
It really messes with him a little bit.
I mean, his face goes through all these emotions. He has like an existential crisis. While this is happening out in the hedge mage, there's like various other like places where they fight. Rapunzel fights Gothel, Stefan fights Gothel, the little siblings get in on it. Wilhelm and Frederick are, you know, things are reaching a peak inside with their argument. And King Wilhelm goes, you stole my daughter, which is his like primary accusation and the reason that he's digging all these holes and knocking over baker's tables in the kingdom is because he believes that Frederick stole his daughter. Frederick replies, for the 1,000th time, I never stole her.
What I just love is that it implies that they've been having this conversation for supposedly as long as Rapunzel's been alive, is that every now and then he's like, "What? Give me back my baby." He's like, I didn't steal your kid. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Like, stop digging holes in my backyard. I didn't steal your baby.
And then everything goes crazy once Gothel shows up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is, like, the best scene, because when Gothel shows with between her and Wilhelm, it's just like, it's iconic. It's iconic cinema. You can't tell me it's not. Because when it's revealed Gothel's main plan for that to Wilhelm, that she's the one who stole the baby, she goes, you loved me. And then Wilhelm just like, there's like a few moments of pause and animation. His face just goes like flat. And he goes, Gothel, no. I never loved you. And there's just like this level of confusion in his voice, because it's so clear he barely knows this woman. And it's like such a plot twist to him that this complete stranger has like a huge revenge fantasy against him that caused him to start to steal his child and also cause a war between these two kingdoms. And it's just like, there's just something about the tone of his voice and the animation of his face where it's just like, what? Wait, you're the one who stole my baby, not my ex-best friend over here? Mind blown. And then Gothel was like, you should have loved me. And just like, you don't know what love is. And I'm like, what a sick burn. Like, sick burn. Like, that's just a great, great conversation, which makes me want there to be a prequel film of Wilhelm, Frederick, and Gothel in high school, just to see what that was like.
Like a King and Queen high school?
I need to see like what led up like to this,
right? Because the way that like he addresses her when she walks in, he like, it sounds like he forgot about her existence.
Yeah, he's like, oh, Gothel, yeah, you, oh gosh, oh gosh, man, high school, long time ago, but baby snatching, I mean, I took my wife, my now dead wife, to prom, not you, Gothel. I just think there's something so great about that.
Like, no, it's not even that of like anger. Like, he knew that she thought that he loved her, but he was like, what? No, that never happened.
Like, we were lab partners for one semester. Who are you?
I can relate to King Wilhelm.
Okay, and you like, you got a lot of unrequited love out there.
Yeah. I recently had someone request my feet pics on Instagram.
Pics, though.
That was the phrasing that they used to request these feet pics. And it was someone who I have never talked to. You know, we just went to high school together, and you, like, follow people whose names you, like, recognize as, like, oh, we went to school together. But why do you think we have a close enough relationship to request feet pics?
Lily, you need to be careful or he'll steal your first baby.
Yeah.
Well, you never gave those feet pics, though, Lily. Now I have your child.
Modern day Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, that's horrible. I would so watch that movie, though.
Give me your feet pics or I'll take your firstborn child. Yeah. Again, here's another trend of, like, these villains and their plans just don't make any sense.
No, Gothel's, like, just this seems like a lot of work for so little payoff. Like, she, like, I guess, yeah, she gets, like, a servant and maybe some weird form of revenge, but also she has to take care of a child. Like, Rapunzel could only be a servant as long as she's, like, had, you know, the ability to walk and move and be, like, a conscious person. But at least for the first, arguably, 6 to, like, 10 years of her life, she was raising a child, like, a baby, by herself in a mansion in the middle of the woods.
Like, I showed him. He doesn't, like, even know that I took her.
He may have dubbed me, but I'm raising a child that I don't love. And now I have to pay for food, for extra food, and buy her some clothes. And, oh, this is a much bigger investment than I thought it was going to be. Let me just tell you, stealing a baby might seem good in the moment, but long term, it's a bad idea.
It's way more work to put in than what you're going to get out of it, truly.
There's a lot better revenge you could do than steal a baby.
I mean, also just imagine putting all this effort into your revenge plot, committing for years, and, like, you've been so evil, and here's your big, sweet moment. And then he goes, Gothel? No!
Never loved you. But also, like, it's very confusing because part of revenge is, like, the person knowing that that is the, like, the person wronged is the one who committed it. But he didn't know it was Gothel who did this. So, like, it was kind of for nothing. You know, I don't know. It's, like, such a bad, bad plan. Also, she has that creepy ferret.
Yeah, that ferret is so creepy. I mean, we talked about how gross, like, he looked before. But there's one scene where he gets blasted by Penelope's fire at the castle during the big final showdown. And somehow singed, he's, like, even more disturbing to look at.
And he moans a lot, which I think nothing should moan ever. Moaning should be banned by all. I'm anti-moaning.
Yeah, I would try to, like, do an impression of it, but I think it would upset everyone involved.
We would be labeled explicit. It's bad. And then, like, I guess the only person who is somewhat a villain, like, implied, but he turns out not to be, is Wilhelm himself, because he is in the middle of a war against this guy who did not do anything. But his greatest plan seems to be digging holes in the middle of the garden that are very obvious. And I don't know a lot about war, but I don't think that's how you do it.
Well, to be fair to him, like, two people almost fell in. And also at the bottom of this hole, there were, like, giant, like, brambles with thorns. So you would have basically been impaled. So he almost managed to murder two young women, including his own daughter. So in that way, I would say his war was very successful.
Oh, it's a success. But also, when did he go, like, dig these holes? Like, and no one noticed?
There's just, oh, a random flat pile of leaves appeared. That's huge. It's almost hole-sized. Very, very strange. I guess I'll just walk across it.
Those are my questions, man. My questions.
All right. Well, I think with that, we come to the end of Barbie as Rapunzel, episode 3 of the Girls Like You podcast. Make sure to follow us on your choice of podcast hosting platforms or on our anchor.fm page. For any questions, comments, or Barbie movie insights you think we should or should have covered in this or any other episode, email us at girlslikeyoupod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message on our anchor.fm page. Remember, always check if there's holes in your fields.
And also be wary of people you may have not known you had or loved you secretly.
Yeah, that's better. That's a better one.
Yeah.
Remember, don't scorn any potential lovers or they may kidnap your firstborn child.
Creativity is the art of magic. Wade Magic of Heart.
Thank you. You are a mighty dragon.
Remember, you are the mighty dragon.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.